Burma, which bans most foreign journalists and blocks much telephone and internet contact with the outside world, has largely succeeded in keeping itself off the front pages, except where the democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi is concerned. Suu Kyi's trial made headlines, but even they didn't last long, and the world's attention tends to move on when there are no daily images to feed it. But there is a great deal of evidence to be gleaned from outside Burma, which suggests that life inside the country for many continues to be extremely difficult and dangerous. David Matheson is the researcher on Burma for Human Rights Watch. He says the country's problems are far wider than the plight of one woman.
There's more than enough for the world to actually be concerned about, and that goes from political prisoners. There's more than 2,200 political prisoners in more than 40 jails around Burma, and ethnic conflict throughout the country, not just in the north, but also in the east and the west of the country.
Now, that can be quite foreign to people, because people don't really know who all the different groups are, the Karen and the Shan and so forth. Can you give us a bit of a word picture?
Well, there are about 8 major ethnic groups within Burma, and according to the government count, there's 135 distinct ethnic nationalities throughout the country. I mean, the major ones are the ethnic Shan in the northeast of the country, the Kachin in the far north, and the Karen in the east and also around the Irrawaddy Delta and Rangoon, and the Mon and the Arakanese and the Chin. But there's also a lot of smaller ethnic groups such as the Wa, the Kokang, the Palaung, the Padang, and many others. And many of these groups have had armed separatist movements for the past 4 decades.
So there are real armed separatist movements?
Indeed. I mean, some of these ethnic militias have more than 20,000 soldiers in their armies. They control vast swathes of territory up against the Chinese border and the Thai border.
It's not just a question of people who want autonomy and are asking for it sort of quietly, and the Burmese army just goes in to crush them regardless.
No, there's a very active armed resistance against military rule, and there has been in terms of the Karen, it's the longest running insurgency civil war in the world. I mean, they've been fighting against the central state for more than 60 years.
How do they keep it up? I mean, the arms must come from somewhere. The equipment must come from somewhere.
Well, I mean, in the past 20 years, it's fair to say that a lot of these groups have been on the back foot, and they've been getting most of their weapons and their ammunition and their financing from the black market and it's been a lot harder for them. Before that, they controlled major black market smuggling gates. But also some of these groups in the north, such as the United Wa State Army and the Kokang Militia, had been making hundreds of millions of dollars a year from the narcotics trade. And some other groups that have far more of a criminal bent to them have been making a lot of money on human trafficking and also illegal logging and mining and other forms of illegal enterprises.
Given all that, some people would say, well, we don't really blame the Burmese for cracking down on them.
The Burmese might have some justification for internal security, but the modus operandi of the Burmese military is to punish civilians instead of actually going after the insurgents. And that's our main concern, is that instead of actually going after anti-government insurgents, the Burmese military comes in and starts burning villages down and creating large numbers of IDPs and refugees and targeting the civilian population in order to punish the insurgents.
IDPs, internally displaced persons.
Indeed, of which there are 500,000 in eastern Burma alone.
Where do they go? Into Thailand?
Some of them do when things get too desperate. They tend to be broken down into 3 different groups. Some of them live around government relocation sites, so the army actually forces them into these strategic villages that they can be easily monitored, and conditions in some of those sites are dreadful. Some of them live in ethnic militia ceasefire areas, basically to get respite from the Burmese military. But more than 150,000 of them live in the jungles and the mountains of eastern Burma, trying to stay one step ahead of marauding Burmese army patrols.
Do they, the Shan people, for instance, have the option of becoming refugees?
The Shan people actually don't, because Thailand is not a signatory to the 1951 Refugees Convention. And because there are already 9 major refugee camps within Thai territory, the Thai authorities do not want to see a large influx of Shan people, which is a bit odd because there is already a large influx of Shan people. In the past 15 years, we've seen hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Shan come into northern Thailand. But they're basically seen as illegal migrant workers, not as refugees. But the distinctions between a migrant worker and a refugee tends to really blur in situations like this.
Sanctions, though, often hurt the ordinary people more than they'll hurt the generals. I mean, what should be done?
Sanctions that target the entire population probably do not have the intended effect, and the intended effect is for the military government to either respect human rights or change their policies. Where I think sanctions can have the most effect is if they are targeted and constantly adapted to reach the top leadership and their close business associates.
So hit their bank accounts.
Exactly. Hit their bank accounts, their investments, and limit their ability to move their money and to move themselves around the world and outside Burma. And the European Union, the United States, Australia, Canada, and Switzerland are the main sanctioning countries. The problem is that these countries don't actually get together, compare their lists, make the same lists, and target just a few hundred individuals and companies. They don't need to target the whole country. That's completely wrong. What they need to do is target the top military leaders and go after their money and the money of the Burmese military.
David Matheson, researcher on Burma for Human Rights Watch.